la vie, c'est la vie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is an exciting week because today we are doing the review of the season finale of HBO Girls. This is Kim for Kiss and Tell with my very good buddy Evan today. And we're going to chat to you about how crazy this episode has been. Let me tell you this. You know what? This is a one episode where I got to say, I think I actually don't like girls anymore. I'm over my infatuation. Because of all the episodes, this one is the one that actually irks me. It irks me because in some ways, I understand what the characters are doing. In some ways, I'm like, you know what? This is like the biggest flip-flop of the entire season so far. I got to know the characters throughout the last 9 episodes, and now I feel like they're doing the exact opposite of what they're supposed to do, even though in some ways they actually being more of who they are. So now you guys know, I actually didn't like this episode. Evan, what do you feel about this episode?
Kim, you're just being like an overly emotional girl. I mean, you know, you don't get what you want, and now you're just throwing a temper tantrum and taking it out on the show.
Hi, am I not allowed to be girly from time to time? Guys can't be girly, right? They can be emotional, right?
Fair enough. I liked the episode, and I didn't like the episode. No, you're definitely right. There were a lot of things that seemed like complete flip-flops and that just seemed to come out of nowhere. But then again, you know, maybe not. So let's talk about it.
All right. Well, before we go on the big twist here, so this episode starts with Hannah helping Marnie move out the furniture. So they're going down the stairs, and this is when I'm starting to get pissed at Hannah because I like her a lot. But she's starting to whine way too much. She's starting with, oh, I can't do this, you know, I'm hurting, or whatever she says, because she can't help with bringing down the chair. And I'm like, come on, you know, Hannah, stop being so, having so much self-pity for yourself, so much excuses. I'm like, you're helping a friend move, don't let your so-called boyfriend do all the work. And the great thing about Adam is doing all he can to make everybody happy. But I got to say, this is a one scene where I'm like, you know what, Hannah, you're getting on my nerves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't dislike that. I like the fact that characters make us feel things and make us scratch our heads and make us want to tear our hair out and make us want to throw things at the screen, or in this case, bitch slap her. So she deserves it, and I think it's all part of the character that Lena Dunham's writing.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the writing is beautiful. I have no problem with that. But as I said, this is, you know, kind of a self-help dating / show. And I got to say, you know, in the last episode, I was like, you know what? I think Hannah is close to a, what's it called, an inside, a enlightenment on herself when she had the big fight with her roommate, Marnie. I'm like, you know what, maybe she's growing. But then she reverts back to exactly who she is, hiding behind all the excuses, and this is why I'm pissed. Because as a coach, I'm like, you know, people, things happen in your life, and sometimes you got to stop and reflect and be like, come on, what am I doing wrong here?
Right. No, the character missed a big reflection moment and big introspective moment. And instead, she goes right back to her true self-deprecating, self-loathing, and non-self-reflective self.
Especially that right as soon as the Marnie move out, you know, she has a talk with Adam. And Adam, like, I gotta love the guy. I mean, yes, he was casted as the main villain for most of the season until he has this big, you know, I'm kind of becoming the boyfriend type. But he was like, you know what, don't waste your time on guilt. You know, this is a big theme here because I think a lot of people, whether they are talking about self-improvement, you know, their social skills or their self-esteem skills, you know, it's one of the things that people who are successful don't have time to waste on what I would call negative energies. And I don't mean that in like you should be self-delusional way and you, oh, I'm the best all the time, but you shouldn't focus all your energy on unproductive thoughts. You know, if it's something that doesn't help you get along, move along, grow, do the next best thing, then let it go. And Adam here is a voice of reason in this one scene. And you know, Hannah is telling, oh, I feel almost bad that Marnie is moving out. I feel guilty for whatever reason. And he calls her out, like, stop wasting time on guilt because you're foaming every time you shed a layer or something like that. And this again is to show people, you know, people, life is too short, okay? Life is too short. Yes, have your moments of reflection. Yes, have your moment of doubts. Yes, have your moment where you share with your friend what's going on with your life. Yes, even fight with your friends, your family, whoever it is that you need to fight for so you can feel better about yourself. But in the end, once you have a moment to reflect, it's time to move on. It's time to do something about what you're doing right or wrong. And if you notice you're doing a pattern that's wrong, let go of whatever negative thoughts, you know, let go of judgment. This is really what it is. It's like, stop judging yourself. I mean, I've said in, I think it's in two episodes ago when I said, look at how you talk to yourself. If your best friend talked to you that way, would you still be best friend with yourselves? And that's what Hana is still doing. I thought she was starting to grow in, I forgot which episode, but it seems actually that she's reverting back to who she is. Evan, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think this, in some sense, is just another turning point for the character of Adam in this show, because Adam is really showing himself to be a three-dimensional character. You know, we start the show by him being kind of a D-bag and kind of very aloof, and we see that there is a completely different side to him, and he is somebody who cares deeply about the things he cares deeply about and has a life philosophy that he is imparting to Hana.
Actually, talking about life philosophies, I think this is an important theme that you just brought up. As men, I think it's actually important for us to stand for something. I mean, in the old days, you know, there was a whole idea of honor and being a gentleman and all these great values, right, that men used to try to uphold. And I think nowadays we kind of lose that. And I'm not trying to reminisce about the old past, but I've noticed that actually men, I would say, in this case, who are successful, usually they stand for something. You know, very successful people, they stand for because of either their work ethics, because they value certain things in people. Some people value honesty. Some people value, like, financial success. Some people value creativity. I mean, they usually stand for two or three things, and they kind of make their life purpose around that. Again, not related to dating, but I think for a lot of guys who are trying to improve themselves, they should take a moment also to ask themselves, what is it that you stand for? Because if you're talking about dating, you know, like the beginning moments of you talking to a stranger, whether it's a woman or a new person, I'm sure people have heard of the elevator speech, right? Especially in business, you want to know very quickly what are you about so that the other person can know, is there an opportunity for business? Is there an opportunity for a mutually beneficial relationship there? Dating is not exactly as straightforward, I would say, but it is very good at the beginning if you can convey a very strong image of yourself to the woman you're talking to, whether, hey, you know what, I want her to know that I'm fun, I'm sexy, and I'm adventurous. Well, it's two or three things. So anything that you say at the beginning, whether the story that you just did last week, it should be revolving about the two or three themes that you have for yourself. What do you stand for? I mean, Evan, very quickly, what do you stand for?
I stand for honesty. I stand for adventurousness, and I stand for having. How should I say this? Giving pleasure, having pleasure, enjoying life.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, the one thing about Evan, guys, you guys don't know him, obviously, but over the course of the years, what I would say one of the biggest themes in Evan's life is generosity with the people he loves. He loves organizing events where he invites a lot of his friends to things that he personally finds enjoyable, whether it's a concert, whether it's a get-together at his house next to the beach. And a lot of times, actually, Evan will organize in a way where nobody has to worry about the cost of anything either. That is his personal, I guess, MO for those kind of events. And again, this is not to say that you have to do that. But if I'm a woman trying to meet him, and I'm sure he would talk about these kind of things, it creates a theme in his life. Like, wow, this is a cool guy. He has something going on in his life. Now, for other people, it can be family. If anybody knows me, they would know that I'm pretty close to my family. I'm always doing something with my family. I'm more just trying to help them. I mean, I took my dad to Catalina Island. It was a big thing for me, just because I feel it's important, okay? And I do a lot of other things in terms of adventureness. I like nature a lot, so I go hiking and do like... And actually, people know me for being spontaneous, so I always bring the fun wherever I go. This is usually why people call me anyway. But these are the themes that I talk about when I just first meet somebody. When somebody asks, oh, what did you do last week? I mean, everybody does something. It can be skydiving, it can be an art gallery, it can be a music event. Oh, it can be just going to a coffee shop to relax. But how you tell the story is how people get a feel for who you are, what you stand for. So when I tell the story, I may be talking about going to the coffee shop, but oh my God, I haven't gone to the coffee shop in a long time. I just decided to go. And just because I start the story that way, it feels that I'm the spontaneous kind. Where somebody else might just say the same story and be like, hey, yeah, I go every week. You know, I go every week because I like reading. So I take my moment and read my book. So the theme, even though it's also going to a coffee shop, is like, you know what? This is an intellectual guy who loves the pleasure of knowledge, the pleasure of intellectual stuff. So this is another that relates back to some of the things we discussed in previous podcasts. Like, what are you about? You know, what are you saying about yourself to the world? You want to paint a very, very vivid picture of the kind of guy you are. Because the truth is, yes, first impressions only takes, 30 seconds or 2 minutes for somebody to figure out whether they like you or not. But also, people get curious about you if you say something very insightful, very intriguing, very creative, very unique. And I know, like, when we were kids, parents always said, you know, like, don't talk to strangers. So we learn to kind of be quiet on the first few minutes of meeting somebody. But the truth is, if you're trying to date, if you're trying to become a more social person, you have to learn to tell little stories at the beginning. I'm not saying, like, be the sales guy. Oh, my God, I did this. I went to a yacht the other day. I went to golf. And this is more like boasting about your life. But sharing things about your life. What did you do last weekend? If you can't, you know, at any given time, tell me what you did yesterday or 2 days ago in a manner that is interesting, then you need to start focusing and maybe trying to learn how to tell stories. And one of the exercises I usually tell a lot is like, pick a word, you know, like look around your room or wherever you're listening to this podcast, pick a word. Or if you are on the internet, pick a what they call word generator, right? There's a bunch of them, and they'll say like, I mean, today I'm at the radio station, so I might say radio, okay? In 5 seconds, make a five-sentence stories about the radio. You know what? I used to never listen to the radio. If people ask me about the radio, I'll tell them, you know what? When I was a kid, I actually never listened to pop music on the radio. Because from a very young age, starting around 5 or 6, I was trained in classical music. So my mom put me to school for violin and piano. And when I was a kid, that was in the 80s, my mom would see me a lot of times sitting in front of the TV, not watching cartoon. Do you know what I would watch, Evan? I actually used to watch orchestra concerts. I was amazed at the violins playing together, and I love that. So from age 0 to 15, most of my musical taste comes from classical music. It wasn't until I was 15 when I moved to the U.S., I'm like, you know what, maybe I need to learn a little bit about pop culture. That's when I started listening to, rock and alternative rock and hip-hop and all these other things. And so if I ever go out with any of you guys and I don't know a song, excuse me, you know, I'm kind of deprived. But, that might be a story I talk about the radio. Again, it's a personal story. You know, everybody has a lot to say about their lives, but what are you saying about your life? People are curious about you if you allow them to be curious about you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, I was just relating the fact the other day that I sometimes am so energetic that I have to force myself to sit down and read a book. And so I was telling somebody that, you know, it felt really nice to just one afternoon sit down, open a bottle of wine, pour some wine, and read my Steve Jobs autobiography that I've been, you know, meaning to read for a long time. But then I told him, like, you know, that it just felt amazing, actually, just sitting outside and relaxing and having some hummus and dip and chips and sipping on the glass of wine, and how it reminded me that I really do need to do that more often. So just even little ditties like that can be very compelling.
Yeah. Now let's get back on the show real quick. The biggest twist of the finale is Jessa. You know, Jessa is, as Dum Dum Dum, getting married. I mean, who would have guessed? This girl, the most bohemian girl you could have thought about, the craziest girl, is actually getting married. Now, don't get me wrong, she's not even getting married to the guy like the guy she hooked up, the ex-boyfriend, who is kind of artsy, who loves whatever her name is, right? But she's getting married to the one dude we would have never imagined.
Yeah, Mr. Success, Mr. Loser at the bar, or Mr. Can I Buy You a Drink, Mr. I'm so bored out of my mind, let's get out of here.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to wonder what she finds so appealing about him. I mean, let's not even get into the nitty-gritty of how they could even get attracted. It's crazy to me. I am the audience of this show, and I have to complain. This is my biggest complaint, okay? Yes, Jessa is crazy. It's actually in her nature to do something as crazy as...
Yeah. I agree with that part. It's crazy, except for the fact that you know that she's crazy, so it's possible, maybe not likely, but possible, that she would do something this crazy.
Exactly. And that's my biggest issue with this episode, is that we start to have a good feel for each other's character, and we kind of know what they are about. But the great thing I loved about this show so far, it has been more or less fairly realistic. Most characters I could bond with, because you know what, they're dealing with life, they're dealing with dating, they're dealing with relationship, they're dealing with family, in a way that I'm more or less realistic. Now, whether I agree with how they go about it is completely subjective, but overall it's fairly realistic. And here in this episode, they flip it on its head, and to me, it's just not realistic.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I actually asked my mom about this. She saw this episode, and she actually thought that it was realistic and in character with Jessa. I think that she was basically saying, you know, after her talk with the mother of the girls that she was babysitting, you know, she kind of has this bit of a life epiphany, and it struck her, and it and she reflected on it. And then she realized, hey, wait a minute, you know what? I got to do something to keep up my bohemian lifestyle, and the only way I'm really going to be able to do it is if I marry a rich dude. And so I don't quite buy that explanation, but it's interesting. That was my mom's reaction, is that she
Are you telling me you turn your mom onto your girls?
I turn my mom onto girls.
Wait, did she watch all the episodes?
She watched all the episodes, yeah.
She's
on summer break now, so she...
Now I'm going to have a discussion with your mom about girls.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, as I said, this podcast is not about whether we agree with it or not, but I still have to voice my concern, because I'm like, you know, like, what's going to happen next season? Is she going to divorce him? Is she going to turn into, like, I'm going to sleep with other dudes on the side, which turns more into Sex and the City kind of way? I mean, her charm was actually, she was the voice of the reason in some aspects, because she's also one of the girls who will actually call Hannah out.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, like, she's doing something like this, where I'm like, okay, well, what's going to happen, you know? The funny thing about this wedding to me, actually, is Adam again. Adam, as douchebaggy as he was at the beginning of the season, turns out to be this kind of, like, sweet guy. I mean, we kind of had an idea in the last two or three episodes, but he's like kind of like getting emotional, slightly crying at the idea of love. I mean, who would have guessed?
He said something like, what brought him to tears? He said something like that. So,
he said something like, two people committing to each other against all odds, or something like that. Or committing
right.
to each other, you know, and finding each other in the middle of, he didn't say chaos, but something along those lines, right? And he found that beautiful. And I hate to say it, I kind of went, ah. I got to give it to, again, the script, you know, and but also the actor for making me care for this character way more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of a dick. He has his moments. But his moments of shining, you know. So how do you feel about him?
I've really warmed up to him, and actually I didn't really even hate him in the beginning. I have to say, I had a feeling that we were going to see some a different side of him, and I was right.
I'm actually very curious to see how women find him, because I mean, I haven't read reviews of online about the season finale, but I know, like, I did read some of the other reviews from Huffington Post sometimes and other editorials on HBO Girls, and typically it seemed like the women didn't like him. They were like, "Why is Hannah with this guy?" You know. So I have to wonder how they perceive him nowadays. I mean, women, do you have an Adam in your life? And if so, what drew you to him? And if you got drawn, did you stay with him? Or what do you learn from that kind of relationship? I really want to know. Moving on. What's the next scene, my man?
I can't read your computer from here.
I believe Charlie. Let's talk about Charlie.
All right, yeah, let's talk about Charlie. Let's talk about Charlie.
I know you have a lot to say. Why don't you jump in and tell me what you got to say about Charlie? Because I know I have a lot to say.
Charlie, my man, I'm talking to you right now, Charlie. Come on. You know what? When you finally get yourself drunk enough to suggest to your ex-girlfriend that the two of you need to go fuck in the bathroom, because what do people do at weddings? It's time to take her by the hand, and after the giggles and the ha-has and maybe the, you know, the few awkward moments and few awkward glances there, you take her by the hand and you fuck her in the bathroom. That's what a man does if he puts himself in that situation. He was trying to put himself in that situation, but he couldn't commit to it, and he needed to commit to it.
I'm sorry, Evan. I'm speaking as a girl here. You know, I'm being offended by what you're saying here, because I'm sure if any woman listening are like, "What? I am not gonna fuck you in the bathroom. That is just gross."
Now, all right. Fair enough. And the reason why he should have done it in this situation is because she wanted him to do it. She gave him the glance. She gave him the laugh. She gave him the yeah, we should. And she followed him down the path. She even elaborated, joked about how she was going to, you know, accidentally turn on the faucet with her ass. And she was engaged in the moment and engaged in the idea and was waiting for him to execute. I'm not saying that, you know, guys need to be, you know, all caveman about it and just grab any old woman that they start talking to and fuck them in the bathroom. No, she wanted this to happen and he couldn't execute.
This is me as a woman again, and I'm going to say, like, are you saying, like, I'm just good to be fucked? I'm not just a piece of meat, Evan.
Well,
you know, I don't care that you're my ex-boyfriend. I'm just not going to fuck you.
Well, that's fine, but this is something that, you know, we have the insight of knowing that she wanted in her entire relationship. That's the reason their relationship didn't work out, or a large reason why the relationship didn't work out is because he was too lovey-dovey, he was too wishy-washy, he was too wimpy, and he needed to get out of the wimp zone and commit to the idea of fucking her in the bathroom because he brought it up and she wanted him to do it.
And guys, this is me talking as myself again.
And you're back.
I have to say, you know what? I cringed so badly at that scene, you have no idea. I really wanted it to work out for Charlie, because let's be frank here. I feel for Charlie. You know, he's the nice guy that we all have inside, because we're all nice guys overall, right? We all have a soft spot. We all love our girlfriends. We all want them to be happy. Most good guys do, okay? But it's true. Charlie, you're just a wimp, okay? You're a little pussy. Let's say it. You know, there's no 10 ways about it. You may be cool. You have a band. You have you're artistic with your, hands, building furniture or whatever it is that you do. But when it comes to your relationship, you suck. And the one thing I'm going to say, you know, the one thing that women say that they love the most in men is what?
Confidence.
Exactly. And confidence is addicting. It's addictive too. Meaning, like, when you meet somebody who's so that has such strong intent, it's very hard to say no to. And it has nothing to do with whether you're man or woman. It's the same with women. If woman is intent on seducing a guy and keeps on flirting and dropping hints and acting all sassy and temptress, it's very hard for a guy to say no. And it's the same with guys, with women. Women, from my experience at least, and from what I've seen through my years of coaching, respond to strong intent. They respond to strong purposes because in some ways they're looking to feel safe and secure. I'm not saying that women are weak by any means, but they like to feel that this man has a backbone, for lack of better words. And first of all, Charlie, if you're my client, I'm going to say, you know what? It's great that you brought it up, but if you're going to bring it up like that, try to be a little bit more seductive. You kind of brought it up, in my opinion, a little too, kind of like, hey, what do people do at weddings anyway? Oh, you know what? We should just go fuck. It's kind of funny, but if you said it with a bit more intent in the eyes, more of that, I'm actually meaning this to you, that might be actually kind of hot. If you remember that one scene, what is it, episode 3 or episode 4, where the art guy told Marnie, like, you know what? I have something to tell you too. The first time I'm going to fuck you, you might get a little scared because I'm a man and I know how to do things. Now, those lines alone, again, might offend some women. That's fine. But the great thing about what he said is not the words that he said, is the intent he had behind it. He said it looking into her eyes. He showed that he wasn't scared of her the woman that she is, and he wasn't scared of being a man. Now, granted, she might not fuck him because, you know, she got offended or not. But in this case, she actually got turned on by it. And you know what, Charlie? This is what you could have done right there in that scene. You could have told her, like, you know what? Why do people do it at even? You know what? I think we should just go fuck in the bathroom. And he did a great thing. He expanded on it. He's like, oh, we should totally fuck in the bathroom. And, you know, I'll put you on the counter or whatever it is. And she actually played along. I was like, yeah, and I'll turn on the faucet by mistake with my ass. And then he did something right again. He took her hand, tried to lead her. And then that's when she got a little scared. Because you know what? It's normal for her to get a little scared. Because when she kind of hesitated, she's like, wait, are you for real? What are you doing? This is when she's checking for your intent. This is when she's checking for your confidence. Did you actually mean this? Did you actually want it? Do you actually want me that bad? Because for a lot of people, whether you're man or woman, when you show strong intent, strong sexual intent and purpose, it's hot. It's passionate. It's raw desire. And again, we don't know if Marnie would have gone for it, because after all, maybe she doesn't want to get into the complications of going back to her ex-boyfriend. But the truth is, he would have had a lot higher chances of getting there if he didn't back down. He's like, wait, what do you mean? He's like, and again, this is when I almost cried. When she asked, are you for real or do you mean it? And he's like, no. I was joking. You're joking, right? And again, he asked permission. You know what? Whatever you say to girls, guys, this is my personal man-to-man advice. Whatever you say to girls, freaking mean it, will you? If you say you want to kiss her, mean it. If you say you want to fuck her, mean it. Now, granted, not every girl's going to accept your advances, but there's something very powerful about meaning the words that you say to a girl. And I'm not saying just to girl, but to people in general. Because when you say it, you become credible. You become powerful. So guys, don't back down from whatever you want to say.
Amen.
Now, here's another scene that I got to say I was 50-50 on. Shoshana and Ray. You know what? This is the one thing that I've been waiting all season long. You know, how is Ray going to hook up with Shoshana? And here he comes up to her, and what does he do?
He opens his heart to Shoshana, admits to her that he cannot stop thinking about her, that she drives him crazy, that there's something different about her, that she, what is his language, that
he told her from my notes, I can't stop thinking about you ever since we've met. You're the strangest person I've met. You're so raw and
so
open.
Raw.
We vibrate on a very strange frequency.
Yeah.
And funnily, Shoshana, like, wait, are you punking me?
Well, she's still inexperienced, and she doesn't have the full confidence yet. So that's a natural reaction, especially because Ray's statement was pretty pretty forward and pretty maybe, I don't know if bold is the right word, but it was definitely a lot.
It was a lot to take in for the girl who barely knows him. Actually, I thought that the boldness came from when he cut her off and, like, I want to go home with you tonight.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. Just don't get in my emotional way or something like that. You know? And this, again, is what I love about Ray. Ray is what I would call your average guy. He has a certain level of confidence, a certain level of I'm comfortable who I am, and I have no qualms about liking women for who they are. And he just expresses it. I mean, as a dating coach, there is one thing I didn't like, meaning I thought he was a little too wimpy the way he said he kept thinking about him, about her. I mean, I thought I picture him to be a little bit more confident. I won't say confident, but the manner he would have brought it up would be a bit less nice guy kind of way. I mean, again, I don't want people to think that I have anything against nice guys, because I don't, because I am a nice guy. But I felt like he didn't fit with the character I had in mind that who he was going to be, you know. So I thought he went a little too lovey-dovey when he didn't know anything about her. But I did like the fact that he didn't hide his intent here.
Right.
And she responds to that.
I mean, and come on, she did give him a non-sexual massage, so.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, how could any guy not think about the beautiful girl that gives them a non-sexual massage? I mean, I'm sure, Evan, you would totally fall in love with that too, right?
Yeah.
So, in that scene again, guys, is to show you it doesn't matter the words that you say, right? I mean, in my personal opinion, he said a little bit too softly at the beginning, but it still worked for him, right? Because, again, he didn't back down. Now, she could have said no again, but the fact that he didn't back down is what makes it hot, and it's what made it work in this scene. So this is to show you the huge contrast between Charlie and Ray. They're both more or less the same guys, technically, because they both play in the band. They are pretty like childhood friends. They both had girlfriends for some amount of time. They're both more or less good looking, I mean, depending on what you like, right? But here, Ray is a guy, your average guy, who has some level of confidence, some level of edge to him. And Charlie, who actually doesn't play his edge very well, you know? So, anything you got to say on that?
And then Ray takes Shoshana to bed, or I guess she takes him to bed. I'm not sure whose place they were at, but, you know, again, Ray was, I think he was in pretty good form in dealing with her issues while they were in bed. She was kind of freaking out, and he puts her at ease pretty good, but doesn't apologize for what he wants.
You know, that's what I love about Ray. You know, he takes things very easy. He's what you call the easygoing guy. And he knows how to calm the girl down, because she started with, oh my God, it doesn't hurt. And he broke the tension and was like, well, good, because I haven't done anything yet. I mean, how great of that line is that? I mean, I laugh so hard because it brought me memories, okay? I'll just put it that way. It brought me memories. And but then, and she's like freaking out again, because she, you know, just to show you guys again, women carry forward the positive or negative experience they have with the previous guys or boyfriends or, on the sexual level. And here she freaks out because she says, oh my God, you totally don't like virgins. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I knew you lied to me. Like, you totally don't like me. And she's freaking out. And very calmly.
Right.
And that's the beautiful thing I like about Ray. Is like, he knows how to handle things. He knows that to handle people's emotion, whether it's women or not, is like the best way to handle it is to be calm and just talk. Because the calmness in your voice, the calmness in your demeanor is what people is what puts people at ease. And for guys trying to get tips on dating and everything else, this is how you can come across very masculine, very confident, is when you walk around life and kind of doing things very deliberately, very calmly. Whether you're eating, whether you're talking to somebody, you want to command attention because, like, hey, listen, I'm here and I'm talking to you, you know? And that's what Ray does. And he's like, you know what? No. And he said something very, very beautiful, actually. I thought that was very beautiful. He said something like, what did he say? He said, you know what? It just dawned on me that you've never done this before. That means that I'll be teaching you everything, and that's a lot of power. I don't know if I deserve that kind of power. And he lets it sink in for a minute, you know, before she, so that she really knows what he says, so that she realizes that Ray is not the same dude that that bailed on her last time. And he's like, that's when the playfulness, the slightly cockiness came out, the confidence came out, like, you know what? Never mind. Yeah, I do deserve this.
And there you go.
And there we go. So yeah, hopefully we'll
find out. Well, we don't know what happened. We didn't, you know, we weren't privy to the X-rated version of that scene. So still a bit of cliffhanger. Still a bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
I
do want to see Shoshana relax a little bit, see how she matures into the woman that she's meant to be. Just like we say about Jessa. Jessa's supposed to mature into the woman that she's meant to be. Let's see how Shoshana matures into the woman that she's meant to be. Now, the other big thing that we should maybe discuss is the two things that we should discuss before we finish this podcast is Hannah and Adam. Again, there's a big twist. There's an impending breakup. And the other thing that we should discuss a little bit, Marnie and what she does about that. But let's focus on Hannah and Adam. Here again, if you remember, Adam is kind of playing the boyfriend role. And at the beginning of the episode, he says to her, like, hey, maybe I'll move in. He said half jokingly, maybe half seriously. We don't know that. Until Hannah tells him, hey, you don't have to move in with me anymore. I agree that Elijah might move in. That's when we realize that Adam actually is falling in love with Hannah. And this is kind of surprising because, again, this plays out to Hannah's insecurity. I mean, do you remember what she said, Evan?
Well, she said that life is hard for her. Well, he calls her out on it and says, hey, you know what, you chased me like a beetle and now you run away. And he pointed out that, wait, maybe it's you're scared. And she said, yeah, I'm scared, but I'm scared more than most people are scared when they say that they're scared. And so here, you know, this was Hannah feeling sorry for herself and using that as an excuse to put up a wall. As for why she shouldn't let other people in.
And that's, again, such a beautiful scene to me because this speaks so much about everybody in life at some point. At some point, I was scared. At some point, you were scared, Evan, whether it's in your job, in your love life, whatever it is. But Adam starts the whole fight with, you love yourself so much, so why is it crazy that someone else would too? And Hannah admits that she's scared, as you said. And she said, I'm scared all the time. And again, the great thing I love about Adam is his ability to not take bullshit from Hannah. And he goes, well, join the fucking club. And you have no right to be scared. Because the truth is, everyone is scared. You know, when you're growing, whenever you do something in life, there's always going to be things that put you out of your comfort zone. You know, it can be your boyfriend in this case. It can be your boss. It can be anything you want. But it's what you do with that fear, right? That's how you grow. That's how you become more confident. That's how you become more attractive, for lack of better words, right? And Hannah here is put in the place where she has to confront herself finally. And this is what is great about relationships, by the way. A little sidetrack here. I'm actually more of a relationship kind of guy rather than a straight hookup guy kind of guy. And I'll tell you guys why. I mean, yes, I like the intimacy to have with a woman, most, you know, generally speaking. But the one thing I learned from relationship is not so much what I learned about the girl that I'm with. It's more what I learned about myself. A lot of the things I like in relationships is how they become a mirror to who I am. Whatever I do has an obvious impact on them. And based on how they react is how I know whether I'm doing something right or wrong. So for guys who are going out there and dating, you shouldn't be so afraid of walking up to strangers and talking. And, you know, as I said, even for women, because I do coach women, right? And it's the same thing. A lot of people are so afraid of other people judging them. And the truth is, you shouldn't look at it that way. You should look at it that every time you go talk to someone, every time you go out and put yourself out there, that you go flirt. And, you know, it's actually feedback. You're getting feedback on, am I being a good person? Am I being a great person? And I don't want you to use that feedback as a way to judge yourself negatively, like Hannah all the time. Like, oh, you know, my weight was a big thing in my life. It was very hard for me all my life. She uses all these things as an excuse to hide behind, whereas somebody who is, I guess, more healthy would use that as feedback to learn, you know what, maybe I need to change my thought process in this instance, for example. Maybe I need to change some of the things that I do so that I can be better, you know. Just as an example, for myself, I used to be a little quiet when I was meeting people. For people who know me, I was born and raised in France, so the social dynamic there is very different than the U.S. In the U.S., you know, people are a bit more individualistic. You have a much bigger personal space bubble. People talk to you very casual and friendly, but there's no real interpersonal connection. Whereas I'm used to people not being as friendly up front, but sharing a much stronger bond as soon as you engage them in conversation. So talking about that, when I moved here, I was a little scared of talking to people. And forget about dating. If you're talking about my journey about, you know, growing and learning how to date, you know, I was scared of talking to girls. I mean, I was a very skinny boy. And, you know, when I look at all these, you know, athletes, you know, these football guys, these jocks and all these things. I mean, all the things you see in your typical high school movie, right? I would be considered more the nerdy guy, you know. And moving, carrying that forward into my 20s when I wasn't as skinny, but I still had that mindset where, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not good looking enough. And then you have the whole, you know, Asian stereotype. Oh, maybe girls don't like Asians for maybe they have a small penises or something. You know, like all these random things that would go into my mind, right? Well, guess what? I had to go all over that. But the way you go, you get over that is by facing them and monitoring your thoughts. And also trying to do better. I remember very distinctively that when I made a commitment to get better at going out and being a more of a social person, I remember that every time I go out, whether I get a number or not, because that wasn't my goal at the beginning, my goal was more to like, hey, can I talk to strangers? Hey, can I feel like I can? They would want to hang out with me again? Forget dating for a minute, you know? Like, would this person want to go out with me to coffee, to a golf, to a party, or whatever. And obviously, I was very aware that whatever I said at the time would matter. Not so much what I said, but how I said it, rather. Because, as I said, you want to be a force of nature. You want to be able to have people react to you, right? Because when you have people react to you, that's when you have leverage. That's when you get to know people very quickly. You know very quickly if there's something going on there or whether there's going to be chemistry or not. And I remember the way I learned to get over this is I would replay a lot of my conversations in my head at the end of the day. Doesn't matter. And I would ask myself, what else could I have said that could engage the other person more? What else could I have said that would have made my conversation more exciting, more emotional? What else could I have said that would have made them want to talk more to me? This, guys, is how you learn. There's no magic pill, magic line you can say. It's more of an attitude in the end. Yes, at the beginning when you're learning this, you may be focusing on just a line. Oh, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say? It's a great way to start learning because actually a lot of my clients at the beginning, I give them lines. I don't give them lines that are generic. What I do usually is guys will send me the text or whatever, and they'll tell me like, hey, I just met this girl. They'll give me the scenario. What else do you think I should lead the conversation to? And this is how I help my guys. I'll give them, you know what, based on what you mean, most likely you would want to go in this direction. This is the kind of things you would want to say. Then sometimes a guy will come back, hey, I want to say this. Do you think that sounds good? And based on what he tells me, I'll be like, you know what, that's a great line, but you might want to tweak the wording so that it comes across more fun or more engaging or more flirty or whatever it is. So at the beginning, it's great to get that sense of what you want to say to the girl. But in the end, as I said, this is not what you want to focus about. You want to focus on what kind of emotions are you bringing into people. I don't even remember why I'm going into this, but that would be a tip of the day on how you get over your fears. Oh, that's why I talked about this, you know, because Hannah has a lot of fears about her weight, about not being good enough. And even Adam said to her, like, hey, you always think about yourself not being a good friend, not being a good writer, not being beautiful. But you know what? You're beautiful. You are a good writer and you are a good friend. And this, my friend, is to tell you guys again, what is good about you? At the end of the day, make a list. What are you grateful for? What are people lucky to have you as a friend in their lives? Why do you matter? You know? So, Evan, that was a long talk on my end.
Yeah, is there a question there?
I don't know. Is there?
No, I know. You're absolutely right. I mean, I couldn't say it better.
Going into that, this is why I feel very close to all the people that I help, you know, whether it's women or guys. And I know that this podcast is about HBO girls, but this is why this show speaks so much to me. It's because I see a lot of myself in every character, but I also see a lot of the people that I coach in these characters. And
this is a great scene because we all have fears, and this, in some sense, is showing us that we have a choice that we can make. And the choice is, do we hide behind those fears or do we overcome them? Do we act in spite of them? And Adam is telling Hannah, you know what? Yeah, all this may be true. Maybe it's not. He's giving her the confidence boost that he's hoping that she'll receive when he says, you are pretty. You are a good friend. You know, stop it. But even still, you know what? He's also saying, You need to forget about it. You need to do what you want to do, and accomplish what you want to accomplish, and not be afraid to be in the relationship that you know you want to have just because you have these fears. Whatever it is you want to accomplish, you need to do so despite the fears that you have, and it's a powerful message.
You know, and not to make it too long again, you know, for fears, I know I've heard people say, but I'm so afraid I'm paralyzed. And this reminds me actually of this terrible movie, The Green Lantern. I don't know if you saw this. Have you ever saw this, Evan?
I saw it briefly.
But the premise of The Green Lantern is there's two rings, the ring of will, which is a green ring, and the ring of fear, which is the orange or yellow ring. And this is actually very relevant to this topic because, again, people always talk about fear or love, for that matter, right? But the way you get over fear is through will. And I don't mean like sheer, like bulging, bulldozing, destroying will. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. And because I know it gets scary, right? But through will, by will, I mean by taking small steps at a time. You expose yourself a little bit to the things that makes you feel uncomfortable. And then you increase that uncomfortableness. Because when you do a small little step, you know, that little step doesn't feel uncomfortable anymore. You know, like for people who are very timid or afraid of talking to strangers, why don't you just start by saying hi to people around you? Smile, hi and smile. You know, if that's the only thing you can handle, then great. You know, and if you can handle a bit more, then you know what? And then tell a little story after that. Hey, I'm looking for a coffee shop or whatever it is that you have a story about. And then move on from there. So, again, that's another quick tip for you guys. But last scene before we close out is Marnie. Marnie in this episode keeps on getting drunker and drunker and drunker. She obviously didn't go to the bathroom and get fucked by her ex-boyfriend. But she's actually herself get loose. She's actually falling for the little fat boy. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that as demeaning. But I don't know the character's name, so that's why I'm going to call him the little fat boy. And again, this is when I was a little bit upset. Because the truth is, again, Marnie's one of the most beautiful girls on the show. And out of the entire crowd, no one tried to pick on her. And you're going to tell me that she's going to throw herself to this one dude because he's funny? And as I said...
And wasn't trying to pick up on her?
Yeah, exactly. I mean... There's something to be said about that. You know, not every girl, you know, goes with what seemed like the hot guy or like the guy who's confident, right? And girls have sometimes do like to try different types of guys. So I'm not judging on the fact that she wants to hook up with him. But my biggest issue with this scene, again, is the realism in here.
Yeah, it's just not very realistic. This was kind of the scene thrown in there for fantasy because... There's a lot of guys who would probably perhaps see themselves as, oh, the funny guy, the jovial guy, but the guy who doesn't always get women. Mm-hmm. And this scene plays to that crowd, that audience, and in some sense feeds the illusion. The delusion that, you know what, they don't need to do anything. and a hot girl is just going to fall into their lap. And you know, this is just kind of people's fantasies of I'm me, and I'm not going to do anything for myself to improve my confidence, to improve my attractiveness to women, and a hot girl is just going to fall in love with me.
Yeah, and the truth is, actually, I don't mind so much that Marnie, quote unquote, fell into his lap. What I minded is he was so oblivious about it, right? Whether you decide to improve your dating life or not, or improve yourself or not, to be a more attractive person, is obviously your choice. But the one thing you can't neglect to look for are opportunities. Life will give you opportunities from time to time to do the things that you want. Whether it's hook up with that hot chick, whether it's that next job opening, or whatever it is, right? When... it's glaring, knocking in front of your face. Are you taking action? I mean, that's really why I dislike the scene. I actually like the fact that they gave the shot to that guy, right? But as I said in previous podcasts, the one thing I don't like so much about this show so far is how they portray men. There's most of the guys here are kind of like wimpy. They're kind of not very attractive. I mean, there's some redeeming qualities for most of them, but most of them are not very realistic. Or maybe the show is trying to portray how women views men. So again, that would be a different discussion. I would love to have some of the female audience, you know, comment on this. Is that how you actually view men? Do you view most men as kind of pathetic losers? And do you also view them most as crazy or whatever it is that you view them as? I'd be kind of curious to see that, you know, or to hear about that. But here, you know, Marnie again is a beautiful girl. She's flirting. She's playing along with him. And he's so oblivious to him. It got me limp. You know, it's one of those things where, like, I want to side with him. I want to be like, yeah, go boy. But I gotta say, this is straight movie making in the process right here. Because the truth is, for most people, guys, this is never gonna happen the way it happened.
Yep.
If a woman's gonna like flirt with you or play along with you, it is your job to notice that she's trying to get your attention. It is your job to at least play along. You may not be good. You may not be like so confident that you want to direct the conversation the way you want, like an attractive guy would do. But it is still your job to ping back from whatever she gives you. Because most women, again, are not going to grab your head and kiss you like that. Unless she's obviously drunk, which I guess Marnie was. But even then,
yeah,
most women will have their friends stop them from doing such things, especially for somebody that they don't perceive as attractive or who belongs to the group.
Good thing your friend was getting married tonight.
Exactly, right? So, guys, it's fine if you're not as at a place in your life where you feel confident in your dating life, but the art of being social, the art of dating, is to constantly look for opportunities and look for ways to move things forward. It's the same thing in business. It's in the same thing in sports, actually. You can look at football, for example. Hey, you got the ball, okay? Are you going to fumble it? Are you going to let it stay stagnant? Are you going to move back? Or are you going to move forward and try to get to the other side? It's the same in dating. Somebody throw you the ball, throw it back, or run with it. One or the other. Even if you have to move backwards a little bit before you can move forward, that's fine. But you cannot sit and just wait for it to happen. And on that, Evan, any words of wisdom you want to share with our audience today?
Can't wait for next season.
Oh, yeah. So, guys, it was a very enjoyable season of HBO Girls. I hope you guys do get to watch more. I'll be continuing this podcast, but on a different topic. I'll have to find a different show, but I'll try to uphold this because I know how much fun I'm having. I actually don't care if you're having fun listening to me. But hey, I love you all, and see you next week. Sur les dunes de la mer, et tant pis.